archive.
Here it is. Welcome to the Ask Yaye Feeney Show. I'd like to say thank you for joining us. You will enjoy yourself tonight. We're going to be talking about our children and what it is our children can teach us and what our children are learning when they look at us. That's going to be our subject for tonight. And I'd like to say welcome to Yaye Feeney. She's our host tonight. She is a priestess. She's a life coach. She is basically a dynamic female. At this time, I like to say welcome to her. And Yaye Feeney, do you have some words of meditation and prayer for us tonight?
Yes. Thank you so much. It's my pleasure. I'm excited tonight to be part of this wonderful program centering on children. And as usual, we have our meditation. But today, I'm going to, as we go along, I think that's where we'll do the prayer and meditation later on in the program, because there's a specific prayer that I want to dedicate today, and I think that that would be apropos. So thank you. So let's move forward.
Sounds good.
Okay, the title of the program is what is it that we are telling our children? What can we learn from our children, and what are we teaching them through our actions? That's very, very powerful, because I think that what's going on today in the world is that our children are, of course, our teachers. In many spiritual beliefs, there is the understanding or the belief system of reincarnation, that we get the opportunity to come back, to finish, to pay karma, to do homage, to learn, to enjoy, and to grow from other lifetimes. And so for those of us who believe in reincarnation, or that the Spirit of God allows us to come back on earth, you know, that's a blessing. And the children, that's what the children are showing us. They are the incarnation of those who came before us. And so our ancestors come back through these children, and sometimes the children are so powerful in the way that they come to us and the messages that we have. Sometimes we're unable to even grasp the depth and the power of it, and we just kind of excuse it as, yo, that's just a child acting out, or that is just you're acting like so-and-so, or you're just looking for attention or something to that extent. And so today, as we had on my website, yayafini.com, we had the wonderful poem of Khalil Gibran that says that our children are not our children. Our children are not our own. And I would just like to take a minute to read that. Is that okay?
Okay. Yes, that would be perfect. I've been sort of waiting for the show 2 weeks now, so I'm looking forward to hearing that poem.
Okay. Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And through you, they come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. That's powerful. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts. For they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls. Mm-hmm. For their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday. You are the bows from which your children, as living arrows, are sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite, and he bends you with his might, that his arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness, for even as he loves the arrow that flies, so he loves also the bow that is stable.
Wow, that is very powerful. Very, very
this poem
powerful.
Has helped me. That this poem has helped me several times, because sometimes we think that our children are our own, and we have these ideas when we're young and we're feeling we're going to have children one day, and they're going to turn out to be this, and I don't want them to go through this, and I don't want them to go through that, and the children end up doing exactly what we thought that they would not do, but they're a mirror of exactly who we are. You know,
yeah.
So our children are not our children. They are the sons and daughters of life longing for itself. So as long as you give life, they're going to express their joy, their path, their purpose is going to come. So in being a parent, you know, you have the longing to be a parent, or sometimes not the longing, you happen to be a parent. Or sometimes you don't have a child of your own, but you're parenting someone. And so you have to always look that these are not your children. These children are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. That they come through us, but not from, you know, for us. And so we are just used as vessels, just as we use our parents as vessels for us to come. And we, through our winding roads and straight roads and around our valleys, we become who we are. And so we mold the thoughts and the actions of our children unknowingly. But the things, the choices that they make is based on what we expose them to, but what they see or they connect as their truth. So that's what we want to connect to today, is what is it that life is showing us about the children and their actions today? And before we go any further, we want to take this opportunity, of course, to our son Trayvon, that was murdered, and it's kind of like a call for action.
Yes.
And so I wanted to share with you some of what and how this affected me, and then I want to do a prayer and a moment of silence. And we'll do a meditation in that. About 2 weeks ago, no, it's been longer than that. It's been about maybe about 6 weeks ago, I was doing a fasting. And during the fasting, I had a dream. Before the dream, I started feeling something uneasy. Like something was getting ready to happen. In my life, whenever something major is going to happen, I have a feeling like I'm going to cry, but I don't have any reason. I look around and I check myself and that, and it's not something that it's something wrong with me or an imbalance, but I get this emotion. And I kept saying to Efolayi, there's something, I don't know, I just feel this uneasiness, something uneasy. But then I had this dream, and one of my teachers, who is no longer with us, came to me in the dream and was saying that he was disappointed in the way that African-American, it was specific, African-American people are not using the ceremonies and the rituals that we did as African people to empower the black experience. Now, I dream people of all colors and all creeds, all religions. I dream all types of teachers and gurus. This particular one was one of my main teachers. And in the dream, he was disappointed or upset. He was sad. His body language was depression because we weren't doing enough for black people, or African-American people specifically. And I was like, well, I remember in the dream I was explaining to him, don't feel sad because everyone, every culture, every nation has its own Odu, because he was saying in the dream that in Brazil they have an entire festival that is dedicated to the celebration of African gods. There's a festival in January for Yemanjá that is the entire city. It's just, as a matter of fact, the entire state in this particular state in Brazil actually just opens up to celebrate the Yemanjá, the Divine Mother of African people, and she's paraded and celebrated, and the affinity of us connecting to Africa as Yoruba people and all of this is done. And he was saying that he was depressed or sad. It was the word sad, because we are not doing enough. And I was like, well, every country has its Odu. And he still, and when I woke up, he was still sad. So 2 weeks later is when Trayvon was killed. And from what I gathered in it was the kind of momentum and the thing that is happening, it's like a call to action. So I couldn't shake it. I could not listen to what was going on. I was so upset. It took me like an hour and a half to get out of my house today. It was just like I was just overcome with grief, as if the child was someone that I knew. And I was like, what is this? And it was just shaking me to just tears and just lament. And then I came up with the insight and the inspiration through meditation that I needed to do some type, take some action, that something had to be done. I had signed the petitions that were going around. I called the city police station that was passed around on Facebook, and I went and called that, but I still felt this torment and this lament inside. And to make a long story short, then I went ahead and did a consultation to find out what was my call, what was it that we wanted to do. And so from it came that there are ceremonies that I have done over the world where people call me and ask me to do ceremonies when there are things happening to balance off public events and public parties and things like that. I'm actually called to do these things. And I have not done any of these in a while, in a number of years. And I figured that's what it was. It came to me just as clear. Why are you not doing what you know you can do? And I'm like, okay, this makes sense. And so when I went ahead and did a consultation, and this is what I got from the consultation, and from it I did the prayer, and I've asked 9 people around the world to help me to do a specific ceremony that we're doing, not only for Trayvon, but for all of the energy that is going around this event, because there's a lot of energy. And so if I may be allowed to, let me say that. Do you want to take a break before we begin, Ruby?
Yes, I would very much like to take a break. At this time, family, I would like to say again, welcome to the Ask Yaye Feeney Show. You are live and in color with us. And our call-in number is 310-742-1887. That number again, 310-742-1887. And please press the number 1 if you have a question or a comment, or if you would like to be on the air. I would like to say thank you to the people in the chat room and our callers who are online listening to us at this time. Also, please go to www.yayefeeney.com, and that way you can find out more about what she's doing, her teachings and her practices, and different workshops that she has, and the different radio shows that she will be on. And we're on every first Sunday of the month, as you know, from 5 to 7. I'd like to say welcome and thank you for joining us.
And how would the people who want to connect to me on the internet now, how would they do that? Go to Blog Talk on the African Latina, right?
Yes, you can go to Blog Talk Radio and go under African Latina, and you will find us there, and you can log into the chat room.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and so I sent the email to the people, the 9 people around the world that I know are connected to me spiritually, and they're in different faiths and different religions and spiritual practices. And I said, we have been given the insight and have the knowledge to make a change through spiritual power. This is a time period where change can be effected in order to continue the momentum of the Trayvon Martin case for community healing, healing for the family, change for the future, and to impact injustice, and to impact justice. This is not a racial issue, but a justice issue. Whenever Americans of different religions, creeds, and cultures unite for a cause, an impact can be made. This issue has the same impact that voter registration for blacks after Jim Crow, the March on Washington, Rodney King, Katrina, and other major issues where Americans banded together over injustice. And so
wow.
I had a prayer that some of my priests helped me to put together this prayer. And at this time, I would like us to do the meditation and do the prayer at this time.
Yeah.
So I want us to just close our eyes, breathe in slowly, let go of all of the tensions of the world and all the things that we've been saying here, and allow your spirit to just connect to the words and to take you on this beautiful journey. Breathe in and breathe out, letting go of the tension. Breathe in again and breathe out. One more time, releasing, breathing in pure energy and breathing out. I want you to visualize a white energy above your head. It can be a cloud or a ray, but some energy that's right above your head, just giving you a sense of calm and connection to the One, the omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent energy of the Creator. And I will repeat the prayer twice so that we can feel that energy. I want you to just sit quietly wherever you want to be and just allow that light as we pray. I enter into a meditative state. I pray that I will be shown what my initial emotions are revealing to me. I ask what action is being revealed to me to move from any negative emotions, such as hate to love, anger to calm, hurt to forgiveness, fear to courage. Since the universe mirrors my beliefs, I ask myself, what can I do to bring about peace, love, and spiritual transformation to community, families, and children? Through this ceremony, I listen to what spirit brings to me, and look for signs of confirmation in large and small occurrences. May we continue to do spirit, God, and goddess work as we empower and heal the world. I will say it again. I enter into a meditative state. I pray that I will be shown what my initial emotions are revealing to me. Ask what actions is being revealed to me to move from any negative emotions, such as from hate to love, anger to calm, hurt to forgiveness, fear to courage. Since the universe mirrors my belief, I ask myself, what can I do to bring about peace, love, and spiritual transformation to community, families, and children? Through this ceremony, we listen to what spirit brings to us and look for signs of confirmation in large and small occurrences. Let's continue to do Spirit God's work as we empower and heal the world. Ashe. Amen, and so let it be.
Amen.
I want you to take a moment of silence as we give homage to Trayvon and his family and connect to his spirit and the spirit of his family. Take a moment of silence. Ashe.
Amen.
Ashe. Welcome back.
That was beautiful. Wow.
Yes, we are. Yes, these children that, thank you, these children that are expressing to us what's going on in their consciousness, in their reality, we have to pay attention. Because as we've said in many of our shows, that children are the ancestors returning, or children are our gifts. Children are born. In my spiritual practice and in my spiritual world, I really strongly understand the value of each child that comes back, in that I have the opportunity of doing a consultation or a reading on a child to find out who is this blessed spirit that God has given me. In spite of whatever was the way that the parent got pregnant. What is this lesson? What's the message? What's the blessing of this child? Everyone should have that type of connection to find out, what is my duty? What is my charge by God to raise this next leader, this future sage, this future entrepreneur, this future guide for me? And so it's important to know exactly who your children are, so that you can raise them in a way that you will see their highest potential. And when the children around us are acting out and wearing pum-pum shorts and wearing their pants hanging off of their backsides and that, that's not who those children are. Those are call letters to attention. They're calling us, do something about this, because I've learned over the years as a mother, my oldest child is 40 years old. And my youngest is 36. And I've learned that children love when you are able to give them boundaries. They want boundaries. They want you to set a standard for them to achieve. They want that they thrive for it. They want guidance and they want boundaries. And so when they stretch the boundaries and they walk in the house with their pants hanging out there behind, or the girl is walking around in pum-pum shorts, or she has her pubic area exposed, and the mother thinks it's cute, she stretches the boundaries to see, okay, how far can I take this? How far can my little undeveloped brain push the envelope? And if the parent is sitting and thinking that's cute, then they're going to push it further. Then they'll come in one day, and then some days they won't come home. And if they push it and keep pushing it, they're telling you, I need your guidance. I need you as my adult, because I know my brain is wired. Half of the time I think like a child and half of the time I think as an adult, because their frontal lobe is still developing. And until it's fully developed, until they're about 25, they're going to be acting like a child one minute and like an adult another. So they need you to say, okay, that's a childish action and I understand it, but you have to think as an adult now. You're moving in a direction where you're planning your future. You're laying the carpet that you're going to walk on. And so the children are asking us, help, help, help. And in so doing, they're allowing us to see, as adults, are we childlike? Are we as grown people who have all of our faculties intact, fully grown? Are we allowing them to run amok because we don't know the responsibility or don't want to take the charge, don't want to take the responsibility. Because it may feel funny to you to see a child do that, but you fall in and say, well, I want to be their friend, or I don't want to rock the boat, or I want to be loved, or my mother was too strict, or all types of things that we go through when we're not accepting who these children are. Each child comes to teach us something about ourselves and hold us accountable to character, hold us accountable to the things that we have to do in making this world a better place. And we are given these precious jewels. And so what can we learn from our children is that they are our teachers. They come in our life. When you see a young lady or a young man that are just running the streets crazy and wild and they have a child, it has an opportunity to flip them into, okay, this is what responsibility is about. Or you have a parent or a family who are on the verge of divorce or separation, and in comes a baby, and the baby is like, whoa, here is something for me to man up or woman up. My responsibility as it is to making this world a better place and to really knowing the worth and value that I have as a human being. Because if God has given me the responsibility to raise someone else, I have to really get sober and straight. And what are we teaching them through our actions? We're teaching our children a lot. Our children know us very well because they see us when we are comfortable, when we're angry, when we're upset, when we are extremely happy. They know all of it. That's why children just watch us, major psychologists. They watch us and know when to ask a question, when they're going to get a yes without you thinking. They know it because they're able to just sit and watch you, watch your body language, watch how you act, how you date, how you love, how you teach them by how you treat yourself and how you treat your friends, how you interact with your loved ones. And so one of the things that I was speaking to one of my students and friend, and she was saying that the movement, and it's actually a movement, that Trayvon has started in Carroll City High School, where the children just walked out. They said, no, it is not fair. It is not right that this young man's murderer was not arrested and then proven innocent. Mm-hmm. He was not arrested. They cannot understand it. And we're telling them that to go to school and to learn and to graduate, because this system, we have prepared for them to be successful in this system. And they're saying this system has a lot of holes in it. And this particular hole, I don't feel good about, and I'm going to state it. And so they walked out of school. They're paying attention to what's going on. And, you know, when we think that they're just emotionally twittering and texting and sexing and all of that, these children, the majority of them are not doing that. But the news and the way that we look at them, we have like a different category that we place children and teenagers, young adult in that. It's them and then there's us. And the children are watching us. And that sent ricochets all over the world where these students walked out. I remember that's what we did at A&T back in the 60s. I was part of those that walked out when they wouldn't serve us lunch. And look at what we have today, that we can eat anywhere, we can stay in any hotel as long as we have money. And, of course, we check the bed bugs. But that's because we were focused. We believed that it was wrong, it was immoral, and it was our right as human beings to do. And that's what these children are saying. They are the future leaders. And so we have the reading that we gave said, this is a time to nurture this aspect that we have a voice. These are the future voters. These are the future politicians. These are the future lawmakers of this nation. And so we have to pay attention to what they're saying.
True.
You know, they're begging for our support when you see them portraying something that we would call, oh, my God, in my day we would never do that. In my day we would do it. Do what it is that you want to do to make it better, to make a difference, and accept our responsibility whenever we're in a child's life. So at this point, It's another 15 minutes. I'd like to take a break, and then if there are any questions or anything that you would like to say, Ruby, I welcome it. But I am so excited about this because I feel so honored to have had the responsibility to have three young people that chose to come through me and come to find out they were old people just coming in small bodies, my three children, and I just give thanks for that.
Yes, thank you very much, Sister Yaya Feeney. At this time, our call-in number is 310-742-1887, and please press the number 1. Again, 310-742-1887, and press the number 1. Thank you. And also, you can go to www.yeyefeeney.com. That's Y-E-Y-E-F-I-N-I. And that way, she has products on there. She has scrubs and vanishing soaps and lotions and all types of healing products that she actually makes herself. She does African weddings and marriages and counseling classes, and she has two radio shows that she speaks on. And her book will be coming out in Spanish in April. So to keep informed, you can go onto her website and sign up for her newsletter. And I just gave you a website. And to speak on the topic tonight, I would like to say a few words. And before I do that, let me say thank you to our five people we have in online who have called in. If you have a question or comment, you can press the number 1 and caller 6120. I see that you have pressed the number 1. And I will come to you in just a moment and let you come up on the air and speak with Sister Yaya Feeney. And to our seven callers who are in the chat room, our seven listeners who are in the chat room, please, if you have a comment or question, you can type it right in, and I will ask Yaya Feeney, and she will give you an answer to that. But one of the things I did want to say is in reference to our children. Our children do. They watch us. They mimic us. And that's their job. Their job is to mimic us, and their job is also to see what they can get away with. And this is to piggyback off of what Sister Yaya Feeney said. We tell them not to smoke, but then you have parents who smoke in front of their children. You know, you tell them that there's nothing out there in the streets and, you know, you should be at home. But they watch you getting dressed to go out to the club. So our children, they hear what we say, but they take in, they absorb what they see us do. And that's something that as parents we have to be mindful of, or we should be mindful of. When we have our children and we're telling them certain things, do's and don'ts, and that type of thing. Sister Yaya Feeney?
Uh-huh. Correct. I concur so much with you because we think that they're not watching us, and they are. Because
yeah.
We are the first teachers. We are their first teachers. We're the ones that hold their hands and tell them exactly what to do and how to do it. How to lie to our spouses, how to lie to our mates, how to lie to our friends, how to say one thing and mean something else, how to send double messages. But the biggest thing is we teach our children how to love. That's a major. How to give and how to receive love. If your children, and I had a particular situation recently that this woman could not understand why the child was hiding things and having things in the house that they know that the child didn't, that the parent didn't buy, and that type of thing, and they couldn't understand exactly what was going on, and they were ready to just beat the child and go through you know, perhaps get arrested for just trying to kill the child. And I'm not like, wait, exactly. What's going on here? Well, the child is stealing, borrowing. I don't know what they're doing, but I already told them that I respect them and I didn't want to go in their room without their permission. And I went in there and I saw these things and I am curious as to how did they get it and what is it. I was like, what? And you have a relationship with your child that you cannot go into their room? That to me was like, okay, there's a message here. That who is the parent here? Who's paying the rent? Who owns this house? And so I had to really just sit down and counsel and ask the lady, well, you know, in a situation like that, what are you telling this child? This child is learning that the parent is not present in my life, that I'm making choices and decisions without my parents' involvement. That's a bad message. Children are going to try to sneak things because they're trying to press their own boundaries. But if you know that it sends a negative message to you, the first thing that you have to do is take down the rules that you made, perhaps in an emotional state where I will not enter into your room without your permission. You have the right to take away that agenda, that addendum to being a parent. And when the child comes home and says, we need to talk, and you sit down and you ask, he says, I love you. You know, you are my star. All of the things that you can start with reminding them what makes them special. And then you ease right in. I went in your room and I know that we agreed at this, but I, as your parent, I went in there to clean up or whatever, and I saw some things that I did not understand, and I need you to clarify it for me. Don't go in accusing. You have to listen to your children and hear what it is that they're saying, but you have to make it in such a way that they know that you are at least opening to hearing what they're saying. They may not tell you everything, but they'll give you enough that you can start working from that paradigm. So the door of this house, I mean of this child's room, had rules that the child was actually a living adult in the house, that they had rights that the parent had given to them, probably an emotional state. So we have to be very careful of things as such as that, as you were saying, that they watch us and they're waiting and hoping that, because if the child didn't want the parent to see, they could have given it to a girlfriend to hide somewhere else. That's a sign. That's a sign that you were supposed to see that. Because trust me, children that don't want you to see something, it didn't have to be in that house. And so also another situation where you have a woman who is bringing in her boyfriend, and we spoke about this before, I think in the Ask Yefini of why do I keep, I am attractive and successful, how come I don't have a mate? And we talked about when you have children and you yourself are trying to find love in all the wrong places, and you have a relationship that your house is like an open door. Every 6 months, every year and a half, you have a new boyfriend or a new girlfriend, and they're moving into your house, and this is your new person that is your significant other, and your child has to hear you in the bedroom and see you, the person touching you, and they don't know them from birth. They have just met them 6 months ago. They don't know them on an intimate level. And so you send those mixed messages of confusion as to how do you love? Do you love by building a relationship and then the ultimate goal is a spiritual and physical connection, or you just fall in love and after the third date or a nice dinner, then you give the person a right to sleep with you or you sleep with them? Is that your way of moving through your parenting? Are you teaching your daughters and your sons what it is to be how is it to receive love? What does love feel like? What does love look like? We're teaching our children how to date, how to stand up for themselves, how not to allow people to take their dreams because they're insecure and they feel that their friend has more things to offer to the man or is more attractive or can give something that they're not willing. We have to be very careful what we're telling our children. So I will be open to hear what the caller has to say in reference to their perspective or if they had a question. So thank you.
Okay. Yes, caller 6120, your mic is up. You can speak with Sister Yeye Feeney.
Sister Yefini, thank you for this discussion. With respect to Trayvon Martin, I am trying to find out what is a good way to nurture a child in, I guess, in understanding what's happened and how they can make a difference. Like, what kinds of things can I do with them or to help them to understand what's going on and you know, help them to understand they can make a change.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that. I was going to say that at 6, but you awake it, way open it up. I love it. Where we go from here. What we tell the young people is your voice can make a change. Your one little action makes a difference. You have the power to be and to do anything that you want to be in the world. And the thing that you feel is an injustice, it is your right to speak about it to me, to your teachers, to your family, to your community, to your best baseball team, to your basketball, whatever, but to connect to what is it that you're feeling in your spirit. That is the one thing that we have to teach our children, is to connect to that little voice that speaks to them. That spirit that speaks to them is the spirit of God. And this is not dogma, this is not calling God any specific name, but the God source that lives in them tells them, when you listen to that voice, your children will always be safe. Teach them how to listen to that, to connect to their inner spirit. Through breathing, through meditation, or just before they make an action, say, give me 24 hours to think about this before I do something. And in those 24 hours, pray about it. Ask the spirit within them to reveal to them why they're feeling like this. You don't have to ask, what should I do? Just ask, why am I feeling like this? And the answer will come, and then you'll know what to do. But there's action. You have to take an action. You have to take an action. And if the child is feeling overwhelmed because they're too young and they're by themselves, they can take one small action and speak on it. If it's to write a poem, if it's to connect to their church, if it's to say, I want to say a poem about something that I wrote, something that I said, someone will be listening and make a connection and maybe in a position to help them for it to be a vocal action. It could be saving your 25 cents and send it to the Martin family so that they will be able to go around the United States and travel, because they can't work right now. They have to travel because they are a voice. They are following what the intention of that child's birth was. That child was born with a mission. He is a star. He was a star that was sent to light the light of the world, to action. And so we have to embrace that. And so, I know, connected to how long, how short a time he had on earth, but the impact that he had is the seriousness and the power of that light. Because we are like little lights that the Creator just sends out. You know, in a starry night where we just see all of these lights, some are bright, some are dimmer. That's what we are. We are stars to illuminate everyone that comes into our space. And he is moving us into action, because we have become so dormant in our action in being vocal to what was going on. We're getting ready to have an election next year that is going to revolutionize the world, not America, the world. Because for the first time in America, people of all colors came together and said, we can do this. We need to change. And we chose to change, and we chose Obama. I am not on a political platform here, but I'm saying the things that have happened, the things that Mrs. Obama has done with children, because she's a mother and her children are young enough for her to connect to the reality of what's going on, she started a movement in the schools to make sure that our children are not dying of diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
That is powerful. for her to take her campaign, not on putting flowers in the White House or redecorating one room. Hers is, I am mobilizing because I am concerned that when my daughters grow up, they're going to marry children, and that if those children are not eating well, they're going to marry people that are going to die and leave them widows.
Mm-hmm.
That's why she's doing this. She's doing that. The small catalyst for this is her being a parent. And she's embraced every child. She's doing jump rope. She's doing double dutch. She's playing basketball. She's playing soccer. She's telling the world, I am a mother. I am past 40, and I can still do this. So get out here and move. And it's helping our children in their health. So our children can do this. If you have two quarters and you put your quarter and you live in an apartment complex and you have a box that you put and you say, this is for my friend Trayvon, and you collect this at the first of every month and you send that to his family, you will be able to give them gas to go from one place to another place. You'll be able to pay for their toothpaste, to clean their breath when they're talking to people about what we have to do. So everything counts. It doesn't have to be something large. It can be very, very small, little by little. There's a proverb in Yoruba that says, bit by bit is the way that we eat the head of the rat. Bit by bit is the way that we overcome adversity. So every child and every parent that's listening now that knows of a child that's feeling overwhelmed and feeling that they're not going to do this, they're not going to do this, to, and he's going to be, that man that that murdered Trayvon is going to walk free. Mr. Zimmerman is going to walk free. You says you focus and meditate and visualize and send your energy of love and peace to Mr. Zimmerman that he will do the right thing. That he will do the right thing because he knows as a human being he may have acted in haste, and it's time for him to say exactly what happened. Send your little energy. Make your little prayer before you go to bed, not only for your family, but pray that the judicial system will understand why our children are asking where a football player was arrested because a dog died, and here is a man that killed a boy, and he was not arrested and taken to trial. Children are asking that this is not fair. We don't want children to feel that we are not giving them the hope that they need to do the right thing, to finish school, to be an asset to the community, to do a trade, to take up their passion, to take up the ball and be the next Michelle Obama, to go in their community and make a garden so that children can eat fresh fruits and vegetables in neighborhoods that there are no fresh vegetables. You can make that difference. You can make that difference for Trayvon, but you can make the difference for this country, for America. America is a beautiful and powerful country, and it has a lot of negative things, and it has a lot of powerful things. And if you focus on the negatives, you will never get anywhere. When we were in the 60s and we were marching and we wanted black studies on campus and we wanted the right to sit at lunch counters and that in the South, we didn't say that, well, let's just go on and make believe that, well, it's not that bad. Let's go on and drink at the white water fountain. No, we said that's not right. It is immoral. Beat us. Do whatever you need to. But we know it's wrong, and the way to overcome anything is through nonviolence. Because when you are in a nonviolent position, what you are doing is you're taking the power. You are taking the power of fear away from someone else. And when we mobilize as a nation, when we mobilize globally and send the message of turning hate into love, as we said before, taking fear, that is what we have to do. We can't focus on what is not happening. We have to take that energy, as we said, to move, to reveal to us and ask what action is being revealed to me to move from any negative emotion, such as from hate to love, anger to calm, hurt to forgiveness, fear to courage. Because if we don't do that, we'll take this and end up being like the thing in Rodney King where we destroyed our own communities. We cannot take that kind of action. We have to take a position of being consistent, being diligent, be deliberate, and be of peace and be of love. That is the power that's going to make a difference to these young people, is to let them know you have to be consistent, because that's the way that you're going to get attention. That's the way that's going to make it. And you're reverberating on a bigger level, because the more that we come together for a common, to know that the law that we have here in Florida where you just shoot because, that has to change. We are in a position to do it. These young children don't know in the 60s where dogs and that were thrown on us and water hoses were sprayed on us. They don't know anything about that. To them, it's a movie. This is their time, and we have to support them at whatever level it is. I remember in the 60s when there were movements and things going on in the South. There were old ladies that could not get out there, and what they did was they were cooking lunches that when you went out there to motivate, they were passing you out a sandwich, a peanut butter sandwich, a bologna sandwich, or a glass of Kool-Aid to make sure that you know that you were nourished, and they were doing their work. Everybody has to do their part. It's just like the hand has five fingers. They're separate, and one is bigger than the other, but they all depend on each other to pick up a penny. So we have to mobilize, and these children that are telling us that they want to do something, connect to your spirit. What can I do? And it will come to you. Connect to you, be it a dime that you connect, a quarter that you collect, have your group in school, connect, send the money, send your prayer, send your action, mobilize, have your youth group in church, in your synagogue, in your mosque, in your temple to pray at 12 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Because Dick Gregory is asking us at 12 o'clock to pray that everything about this case will be revealed, and that injustice will be revealed for what it is, and the power of peace and justice will reign. If all you do at 12 o'clock is you just say that prayer while you're sitting in your class and unite in that meditation, it has to change. We have always in this country done that. And that's what makes America a great country. In other countries, right now, they're taking away the rights of the women in Egypt that fought for the liberation of Egypt. Right now, they're questioning whether the women can sit in parliament. This is today. And in America, we fought for that because we banded together. When our ancestors were enslaved, when African ancestors were enslaved, when the Native American were indentured, together was a movement. That is what makes a difference. So that's what I have to say on that. I hope it answers your question.
It answered a lot of questions for me. And it's funny that you brought up First Lady Michelle Obama, because she is leading by example.
Yep.
Her children can watch her, and other children can watch her. And it doesn't have to be just our children watching us, or, you know, it could be our children watching other parents. And unfortunately, sometimes our children learn from outside entities. It's not always from what's going on in their own home. They can see what's going on, and they'll hold it close to them. But they also see what's going on with what other children are doing, what they're learning from their parents. And unfortunately, we have to deal with that, as well as make sure our own actions are done properly. And I would like to say thank you for our five callers who are online right now, and our six callers in the chat room. The call-in number is 310-742-1887. And if you have a question, press the number 1, and we will, or question or comment, doesn't necessarily have to be a question. And if you're listening and you want to go into the chat room, you can go into Blog Talk Radio, Latina African, and you will find us there. Sister Yaya Feeney?
Yes.
Will you tell us, before you go on with the chat about children, will you tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now and what you have planned next as far as classes and workshops?
Great. Every month I have a class. It's not on Blog Talk, but I have an actual class that I teach different aspects of spirituality. And this coming month, we're in April. April the 15th, I'm having a class on ancestral celebration or the power of ancestors. And I'm going to have three different priests of different aspects of African traditional ancestry that's going to be online with me. Last month, my class was on the power of fasting on the spring equinox, and we had one holistic, my personal guru, teacher, advisor, / natural healer, was online with us, and it was awesome. It was awesome, and it's still available if people are interested. The class, you can purchase the download for $10, the one on the fast, on the equinox fast, and how to and why not, and what is the value of fasting. And this one coming up, we're going to have someone that's going to speak on the power of genealogy. Someone is going to be speaking on the difference between an egum or a spirit, a dark deceased, and the ancestral spirits of the universe. And we have someone that's going to be speaking on Palo Mayombe, or one of the Bantu religion practices that stem off from that and is now practiced in Yoruba religion. So we have in three different levels of priests that are going to be part of our show on the 15th. And you can register on yeyefeeney.com for the class. Just go up and see our classes, and you will register for $20. The classes are very, very wonderful. You'll be able to get a download of it, and you can keep it. You can make a CD. You can do whatever it is that you want to do with that particular. We ask not to share it because, of course, I'm making it so cost-effective for everyone to be able to have it, and that I will be able to continue doing this work. And so that's the class then. But going there every month, I have a different class. We have a panel of people across the board that are going to be in one of my upcoming classes, which we're going to cover Condomblé, Lukumi, and Yoruba indigenous practice. We're going to have three priests from different parts of the world that will be also on that class. So every class, then we have a class that I'm going to be teaching on the power of ritual of making different baths for shifting the energy. But when you feel like you want to go into your job and just get a imaginary machine gun and spray everybody, that we give you baths that you take this imaginary spray gun and spray out beautiful flowers of love. So that it shifts the energy in every one of the cubicles in the booths. Mm-hmm. And so there are different classes. So every month I do a class on, it's the second Sunday, I think it is, of each month that I do a class that can help us to understand a little more about African indigenous religion and culture and philosophy and sociology that we have. So I have a class every month for the rest of the year. So just look at yeyefeeney.com, and I hope to see you on my ancestral celebration class and workshop. It's going to be fabulous, and it's 2 hours. So get yourself centered for, because it's going to be really, really, and you'll be able to ask questions of some very profound priests that I've been working with for over 40 years that are willing to share with us different practices. Because what has happened is that on the internet we hear and we see so many things that people are saying about African indigenous culture and in all religions and all spiritual practices. And you get someone that is very new in it and they become almost like a dogmatic and pushy and inventing different things. And so the reason that I like to do classes is so that you can ask yourself questions. If you get enough information on anything, you won't be hoodwinkled and bamboozled, as Malcolm X said. You know, you'll have enough information to know what questions to ask, and even if you don't know what questions to ask, you'll know what answers you need to look for. You know, and so that's why I like to teach classes, is so that we know exactly what we're getting into. A lot of people now, the internet is loaded with all kinds of information about this religion, Lukumi, Santeria, Yoruba, Ifa, any of the names, Condomble, Voodoo, all of that you want to hear about. And a lot of people sometimes don't have enough information to even make a statement on something. And they're making a statement and people are taking it and running. And you know, people are being taken advantage of and all of that. I think people take advantage of is when they don't want to do the right thing and go and get the information. Because if you have enough information on something, you will know what to ask when you get there. It's like if you're going to see, I always say that, you know, to have a Ifa or Yoruba priest involved in your life or any spiritual system involved in your life, you have to approach your teacher, your sage, your priest, as you would your urologist, your gynecologist, or your proctologist. They're going into sacred areas of your body. You need to make sure that they're not doing a thing and holding a vibe. They have credentials, they have experience, and they know what they're doing. So you have to know what to ask.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to a urologist, you're not going to ask him how can you cure a fungal infection of your nose. He might be able to trace it through your urine to see that you have an infection, but you're going to go to an ear, nose, and throat specialist. So you have to know what to ask and who to go to. So that's why I like to teach the class, because young people are embracing this faith and all faith, because this is a time for change. We have brought into this 21st century so much technology, information. We have done so much, and we have done so much damage to the planet in trying to do better. And better in this 21st century is about doing it faster. That's all we're looking for. We consider faster as better. And in getting it faster and having drive-through, frozen foods, all of those things, we are causing major chaos in the universe. To the plants and vegetables that we depend on to survive and to thrive for the next two generations, we have to put things in place. And so with information, then you're able to understand why we do this and the responsibility to do the right thing, so that when you take from nature, at the same time you are giving back. And that's why we need to know. And that's why right now people have gotten degrees, they've gotten all types of things to make them successful in life. And they say, well, wait a minute, I'm still unhappy. So let me try another faith. Let me try another spiritual system. So people are shopping for religion. And so my thing is, it's fine if that's what you want to do. If your religious soul and your spiritual soul does not feel satisfied, go ahead and search, because sometimes you may have born in Catholicism, walked through Islam, got into transcendental meditation, ended up in Osirisen and ended up in Yoruba and ended up being a Buddhist or ended up in Baha'i. It's all good, because it's all about walking to the Spirit of God and to the drum of harmony of how to harmonize your life and find peace and love. And so it's all good. But in doing so, make sure you have information on all of the systems that you're in, so that you don't get bamboozled and hoodwinked by someone that's just got into any faith and they're just ready to just beat you down with whatever it is.
Yeah.
So
okay.
That's what I'm doing. So go to my website, yayafini.com, and log in.
Thank you. You have a caller on the line who has a question or a comment for you. Hi, caller 0980. You're on the line with Sister Yaya Feeney. May we have your question or comment, please?
Okay, thank you. And I'm very much enjoying this discussion. And I just want to throw out a comment to get reaction. I'm thinking that to follow the action plan that the incident of Trayvon Martin has generated between the young people and the older people, the parents, and the multiracial quality of these demonstrations. One of the things I think might be good to continue is for parents and relatives to continue with their young people and their friends, the discussion in some way, that to continue that dialogue so that when, you know, the marches move forward, that there will be a continual discussion on an action frame. I am a child of the civil rights movement, and I remember having discussions and seeing young people during that time were very much involved. But they were involved with the adults, the parents, and the adults that were in the community. They weren't all necessarily parents. And so it gave opportunities for other adults then to begin making dialogue. There may be some young people in a relationship, a family relationship, that may not have known that Grandpa marched in the Selma march, or that how he was involved with it. And these are opportunities for new information on the actions that were taken before to come out and to actually bond and to have the elder and the younger to continue this dialogue and this relationship. So I was in terms of generating respect and generating a listening on both sides. I think that this would be a good idea for families and friends and natural relations to continue the dialogue and to make it happen within their setting.
Ashe, thank you very much. And what was coming to my spirit when you were speaking, thank you for calling in, is I'm going to put the prayer on my website that people can use the prayer if they would like to move from power, you know, move our energies from hate to love to that. So thank you so much for that. Definitely, families, we can use this as a jumping off point to speak and to take action with our children.
Yes. Hello?
This is a movement. That's how a movement starts. One person said, that's what happened when one lady was on the bus and she said, I'm too tired to sit in the back. I'm not having it today. My feet are hurting, and I'm going to sit here.
Yes.
It just takes one person. She did not get up that morning and say, I am going to make a difference. She said, look, my feet are hurting.
That's very true. That's true. Okay, Sister Yaya Feeney?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I don't have anything right now, so if there are not any questions, maybe
you can share, because you are a parent yourself, and maybe you can give a little insight into, you know, some of the things that you go through from seeing your child coming from a baby to, and I happen to know that he's in college. How do you feel? Do you see the man that he's grown into? Can you see yourself, your resemblance in him, in the choices that he's making?
Yes. Well, before I answer that, we do have a question in the chat room.
Okay, great.
Okay. It says, all children need to be empowered. How would you talk with a child that may appear rebel, but that child is not your child?
Okay. If the child appears to be a rebel, the child is trying to get somebody's attention. Because a rebel means that you're going against the grain. You're rebelling against what the norm is.
So the child is trying to get somebody's attention. What I would say, does the person have contact or connection to the child's parent or caregiver?
Okay. I don't know. They're listening to you, so I'm sure they will type that answer in.
Did you type it in?
Not yet.
Yes, that's important because let's say, for instance, while I'm typing, while the person is writing it, if it is someone else's child, we have to connect to our spirit in all actions that we do. Don't make a hasty decision and say, let me go over there and tell this woman about this bad child, or, you know, she's not doing right or he's not doing right by this child. Connect. Do a prayer on it. I have found over the years that if you give yourself 72 hours to think and pray and meditate on something, you will get enlightenment. That's what I've used. Anything that is really weighing heavy on my mind, I wait 3 days.
Okay. She says, yes, caregiver.
Oh, great, great. Well, if you have a connection, you take yourself 3 days. And you go into prayer about that, whichever method you do for prayer, whether it's libation, whether it's chanting, whether it's praying, whether it's singing, whatever, that gives you that sense of connection to God, you do that for 3 days. And when you finish with that, then you tell the person's caregiver, I would like to talk to you about something. And they say, what girl or what man? I need to talk to you about something that, you know, I love that child like the child is mine. Because he reminds me so much of me when I was growing up, blah, blah, blah. Connect, bring it to you so that they can feel that they don't have to be in a position of to retaliate or that you're attacking them. You always have to come from a place of love. You have to come from a place of letting the person feel comfortable. And you let them know how you feel about the child. And then you tell them, you know, I think that perhaps, you know, one of the things that as a child, and you share some of your childhood experience, because I know the person I was typing had to be rebellious in some aspect, because that's part of life. And you can use yourself as an example. It says, you know, when I was a rebel or I tried to rebel and did such and such a thing, this is what, you know, the cause, what the effect was of what I did. And I just feel that that child is just showing me, whenever I see them, I just feel that such and such a thing is happening, and maybe, perhaps, I could do something about it. Would you be comfortable with me speaking to the child? And she said, oh, Lord, please do. Or, no, I don't want you to talk to my child. Either way. And then you take it from there, knowing that you're connecting from a place of love. And sometimes we want instant gratification because we live in a drive-thru thing and we feel that if we place an order in the drive-thru that we should pick it up at the next window. And it doesn't work like that because once you say something to a child from a place of love, they won't forget it. They won't forget it. But if you're yelling and screaming at them, all they're saying is that when she finishes, I'm going to cuss her off. Or when she's finished, I'm going to walk away. Or she made me mad. Or tomorrow I'm going to throw a window, a break in her window. But if you're coming from a place of love, that child will not forget what you said. Remember we said it on the show once where I pulled up the young man's pants?
Mm-hmm.
He was sagging or bagging or whatever it is that they call the thing. And someone just told me, you know what, pull his pants up. And I said, you're such a handsome young man. Why are you walking? He said, I'm sorry, ma'am. Big old dude. He got in the car, and I was like, what are you doing? Here I am, 5'2". This dude is standing like 6'3", big dude, walking the car with rims, and he got all kinds of little stuff in there that he could have just knocked me to the ground. But I didn't say, pull up your pants. You piss me off. You make me sick. He would have turned around and, you know, probably popped me. But I pulled it up. I said, you're such a handsome young man. What are you doing? Oh, my God, you are my future leader. From a place of love, if you come from that, that child will listen to you. And then find out. Let that child tell you what's happening. Ask the questions that you already know the answers to. And let them talk. Don't talk at them. Listen to them. Because they're going to tell you. Because the acting out is, I need somebody to hear me. I want you to say something to me. Yeah. When you see a little girl walking around with pom-pom shorts, which I call pom-pom shorts, is those things that you can see, you know, the little flesh on the bottom of her behind.
Mm-hmm.
She is telling you, I don't feel very attractive. I don't feel very proud of myself. I have a lot of insecurity. And this is the way I'm going to get attention.
Mm.
That's what she's saying.
They said about the child that this child is gifted and sees colors. Oh, and someone said in the chat room, great wisdom about giving yourself 72 hours.
Yeah, it's worked for me.
Yeah, but she said that this child.
Yes, go on.
Yeah, she said that this child is gifted and sees colors.
And it's still acting out?
I'm sorry.
And you said that the child is becoming is acting out?
Well, she said that was the beginning where how would you talk with a child, you know, that may appear to be a rebel, but she said that the child is gifted and sees colors.
So ask the child from a perspective, when they see colors, exactly how do they feel? What, when they see colors, what do they feel? Not what do they think? Because they're going to think, oh, I don't know, I guess I like the color red. My mama likes red dresses. No. What do you feel? Red might make me feel good. It makes me feel sweet. It makes me feel attractive. It makes me feel like I hear voices. Ask them, what do they feel? Because that's what it is that they're trying to express. We are not taught to express what we feel. We are taught to go to school and learn what we were supposed to write, repeat. Write and repeat. That's what we're supposed to do, not feel. Because I think that the day that we tell children to express how they feel, they would not go back to school. They come into the classroom and say, I feel my teacher don't like me because she only picks on certain children in the class. And it's true. So they can't go in there with what they feel. They have to go right in there to say, look, you are here to get an education, and whatever it is that you're feeling, you need to suppress that. And then they do all types of crazy things because there's no place in the curriculum for tapping into what they're feeling, which is through meditation. Meditation makes you feel on a vibratory level.
Mm-hmm.
That if we started the school day with a 20-minute meditation, the whole school would be running on a different vibe, especially the principal. He or she would be the first one needing half hour of meditation. But if we started by connecting to what the children are feeling and not what they're thinking, then it would be different. So ask the child, what do they feel when they're doing X, Y, and Z? Because they will tell you exactly why they're doing what they're doing.
Okay, there's a comment in the chat room. It says, I have always surrounded myself with elders, even as a young child, and the love they shared with me has carried me throughout my entire life. Their level of sacrifice, care, and love is what inspires me to help young people. And also says, we must help our young people. Too many times children are being held accountable with the adults when the adults are not accountable for their actions, and children know it.
Yeah, that's what we were saying earlier, is that when you are with an adult and the adult is acting like a child, then that's the imbalance that you have, because obviously that adult does not know why that children was sent into their life. That child has not gotten a reading. The parent has not had a consultation to find out what this spirit is bringing to them. That's the big answer. The small answer is when you have an adult who has not addressed their own childhood issues, then they're in denial and they're repeating the pathology of their family without even knowing. So if you get a parent who was taught that love is just to provide material things, that's what you will give. If you have been taught as a child that love comes with pain, then that's what you will inflict on your own children. If you feel that love means that your mate will not be emotionally available to you, that's what you're teaching your children to love that way. And so if you're an adult and you have not loved from a place of accountability, then you won't hold yourself accountable to be a parent. You'll do whatever you want to do and say, I said do it because I'm taller and I pay the rent. And the child is like, okay, my mama and dad is crazy. So I'm going to go in the street and find me another mama and daddy, call a gang, where I can get some respect, where I can be heard, where I can have a voice, where people are listening to me. And if it means get a gun and shoot up some people to prove that I have power, I will do that. So our children, the gangs and that they're in, they are screaming for rites of passage. They're screaming for rites of passage. This is the third year that I put up that we have a rites of passage available for young children. I have not received anybody interested in having a rites of passage for their children.
Really?
Yep. I've sent out emails. I put it up on a website. People are not interested in it. I'm not saying that in a negative way. It's just that sometimes our learning process is different. Maybe we need to live through having the child go through all that they're going through and then learn, wow, the child turned around and said, Mom, you were not a good parent. I love you, but you were not good. And then that's when they get it. Who knows? But we're not embracing it. There should be a movement. We should have a movement of trying to find out how can we have children organized, move from how to be from childhood to adulthood. We have it in different religions. We have it in different faiths. We have it in different cultural societies, organizations, races of people. It's automatic. When your child turns 13, you turn them over to doing a process of showing them how to be adults. But if we as adults have not been through rites of passage ourselves and we do not come, we are fragmented in how is it that we became adults, then we're going to pass on. That will be our children's rites of passage. Is they will have to use what it is that they felt and saw at home as their rites of passage. And if it wasn't organized, then they'll join a gang and get it organized. They'll get it one way or the other because the spirit will survive through any means necessary.
That's true. You know, we had a function yesterday, and one of the authors there talked about, he's now 36, 37, something like that. But when his father was 31, this young man was 7, and his father passed away. And he said when he had a son, his son was 5 years old when he started to think, I need to teach this little boy how to grow up to be a man. Yeah. And he was working on teaching him that, but he realized his own thinking was of that of a young man, you know, his father teaching him at, you know, 20, 22, however old he was, teaching him at that age, and he never learned to be a man from anyone over the age of 31 once his father passed away. And he said, so he only knew how to be a young man. He didn't know how to grow into a man at the age that he was. And that goes back to the way what we teach our children. And some of the things that are missing in our community is mentorship. A lot of kids, a lot of our children don't get certain things at home. That's where that mentoring comes into play. We have to mentor to children, even though it should start at home. There are times when it will not start at home. It will not start or end at home. You have to be able to stand up and take care of children that are not your own. And for me, my son was 3 when my husband and I separated. And I didn't have men around him when he was growing up. So he had to learn to be a man from me. And as a woman, I know a lot of women are going to say, hate me for this, but I just don't believe that women can raise a man and put everything into him that he needs to be a man. And although my son is very polite, he knows how to open the door for me or any female that gets into a car, and he knows how to fight, but there was still something missing in him. You know, we went to church, we did all of that. Even he's away in college, you know, in Florida, and I'm in Maryland. He goes to church on Sunday, and not because of anything that I'm doing, because that's something that he was required to do. He went to school, went away to school when he was 17, so he didn't get that chance to hang out and be here. Oh, I'm 18, I don't have to go to church with you anymore. He didn't get that chance. So but he still goes. And it's just certain things that we have to instill in our children. We have to teach them. And if we can't, if you feel as a parent that you can't teach that child, then it's your job to find a mentor. There are a whole lot of groups and a whole lot of resources out there where you can find someone that can teach your child what you can't.
Yes, yes, definitely. And to concur with you about a boy being need to be raised by a man can only raise a boy to the extent of knowing how to prepare him to be a man. Now, a woman can fill in, and we can teach him how to be a good citizen and a good man, but to be a successful man, he has to have a man in his life because he has to have a mirror that shows him exactly what he has the potential to be. He will never grow breasts.
Yes.
He'll never have a menstrual cycle, so he doesn't have a clue. And you, as a woman, you will never know how does it feel when your voice changes.
Mm-hmm.
Or how does it feel when you have an erection in the morning? What does that tell you? He needs a man to do that and to show him the deeper meaning as to why those things are happening in his body and in his mind. And that I have to agree with you that it is, because the way that you learn is through mirroring, right? We've never seen our own face. We've only seen a reflection. No one has seen their own face. You've seen reflections from a mirror, from the water, whatever. And so you have to have a reflection that's coming to you from another being that is in your same soul, in your own sexual soul, to know exactly who you are and what you have the potential to be. And so in your son being able, you laid the seeds for him to know that he, just as he's going to school every day to learn how to nurture his head and his mind and how to mold it, he also knows the importance of nurturing and molding his spirit, and that's why he goes, because it makes sense to him. He feels connected to going to service, to going to church, because that's one day that he can feel like, I can give my spirit, I can feel, I'm allowed to feel, because this is a safe place for me to feel, because if I feel in the class, like I said before, he wouldn't be going to class, because half of the people that's in there are not going on feeling. They're there because they're getting their check. And you have very few far and in between teachers who are really, you know, feeling connected to each student. They may be connected to one that's in trouble or one that reminds them of them or something like that. But it's a different thing. And also about the mentoring, you have to have a mentor. I went through hell when I first came to this country. Mm-hmm. I didn't have anyone that was mentoring me. I didn't. My mother was trying to fan her way through from coming from Central America and trying to just how to make it here. And then she has three teenagers that she's bringing into the country 2 years after she comes. And I come to school and I can't read English and I'm mocked and I'm doing all of this. And so I get to high school and I'm just struggling. I don't even think I ever got a B. I always had C. And I remember in high school that one teacher told me, she said, look, don't even think about going to college, because I took typing and I got a C minus in typing. I was doing like 16 words a minute. I was just like, bick, 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 bick. And she says, don't even try to go to work because you can't type. And don't even think about college because you don't have the brains to make it. You need to just get married if you're lucky enough to find somebody. I will never forget that. That woman told me that in the 11th grade. She broke my spirit down.
Mm.
Broke me down. I didn't have anyone to tell me, you can do this. You can. I mean, my family did, but they were busy just trying to, you know, make it themselves.
Yeah.
Trying to make sure that, you know, I didn't get carried off by, you know, the wild American teenagers. And here I'm coming from Central America with fear of everything, you know. And so in not having a peer, you find your peer in the street. My peers were my homies, you know, and that's how you became. My rites of passage was when I walked on the handball court, everybody respected me because they knew I could play the heck out of a handball. And so I got a voice. I was like, whoa, okay. And I could dance. But those two things, that's just survival skill. I didn't have anybody telling me when you go off to college and you get detracted from why you're there, you need to stay focused because you're there for an education. So I quit my junior year. I had two semesters before I graduated. I didn't have anybody telling me you can make it. I was just trying to do the best that I could. So I got involved in the revolution and got in the moment of the 60s and got really embraced all that was happening on campus and all of that. My grades suffered so much, I said, I'm out of here. So you need mentors to let you know that even if you don't know that you can make it, you have somebody else that's pulling you up. You have somebody that's looking to you and say, you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You can do this. You're smart. You're intelligent.
That's true.
So you need mentors. You need mentors. And in a culture and in a country where we have so many people who are coming, children who are migrating or are immigrants, it's so difficult for them to kind of maneuver their way through because you don't know how to dress.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how to speak. You don't know what's slick. You don't know what's happening. You don't know what. And so you just are stay in a state of complete insecurity. You try to get away from your old culture because you come to a country here and people, oh, man, you're Haitian. That's backwards. You're from Latina. Oh, God, nobody's into that. You know, every group is telling you that they're better than the other group. So you're just completely, you know, I'm a black Latina. Okay, so where do I fit in?
Well, yeah, that's very true. I hear that because I live in the area of the school that my son went to. There's different cultures there, and they have different programs. And whenever there's a program or something at school, they speak in English, and they have someone who speaks it in Spanish. So, hopefully that helps. You know, when our young people make the transition from where they come from, which is another culture here, and they have to go to school because it's a big transition. And I see that they do have at the school, they have, you know, mentors. They have people there to help them with the transition. They have, you know, classes to help with, you know, the transition from Spanish to English so that they can learn keep up. Yeah, definitely.
And the cultural transition is what's necessary. You need to know that, you know, you have to have someone that's letting you know outside of class, too, that you can make it. You know, and that's so powerful what you said, that in school now you have that because I came to this country in 1962. So then we didn't have any transition. They just put me in a slow class because I couldn't read English. So they were like, oh, maybe she's retarded, you know, and that was the term that was used at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you get tests and you fail, and they're like, oh, no, she's not real bright. She's learning disabled. But because of so many children, you know, going through the system and now have their PhDs and their doctorate, they're the reason that you have that in the schools. And so one person can make a difference. You know, one person can make a difference by just saying, okay, I'm not going to let another Latino or Asian, Haitian student or Vietnamese child or Hindu child or Indian child come from any country and go through what I went through and become, you know, their voice in the school system. So we go back to the same thing, that one thing that you can do is speak your truth, be it from pain or be it from, you know, success or joy. But by speaking it, some effect is going to happen into the universe. So mentoring is definitely important. And if all it is just pull the child over and says, how are you doing? You're looking so nice today. That could just make the whole day. That could make the whole day, because they're just walking down the hallways just trying to be invisible. Please, nobody don't say nothing. Please don't say anything.
I have two things in the chat room. One is, I had a similar conversation with three young boys at school last week. One Latino, one black male, and one white male. The Latinos said, you don't want to mess with Mexicans because we will beat you up. We will beat you up to the black male. We had a talk about it. So they had a talk about, I guess it's that transitioning thing. And one of the people in the chat room, he said we had a talk about being secure and accepting of your own culture, but how to talk about your culture in the most positive light. We also talked the commonalities of the boys and how they could be supportive of one another. Okay. And yes. He also says, please consider making libations for one of my students. I'll call him C.
Okay.
He is being targeted by his school system in a very unjust way. He is facing expulsion from the school district, and he is only 13 years old.
Oh, wow. Okay, we can say prayers that the people who are around them. I did a prayer, and that's what started me in this whole thing about children. I've been like 2 months. And we did a prayer for the children. Remember when there was a shooting in the high school?
Yes.
I did a 21-day prayer, and a lot of people called me, and they were part of the prayer circle, that the adults around these children will tune into when they're trying to speak to us, when they're in pain. And so what I would recommend, that we will pour libations for C, but also make sure that if that person is involved in the school system, listen to what that child is saying. Hear what his pain is and see if the spirit, your own spirit, connect to him for you to be able to do. If it's just you have a friend that's an attorney, run it past them. Something like that. Trust me, when you connect from a place of spirit, you do that 3-day thing, it's a guarantee. You speak to that child, and that child will let you know exactly what's happening. Because he may be reacting to something that's happening in the home. When you are a child and you come from another country, you sometimes have to be an adult in the household if you don't speak the language. You have the responsibility of being an interpreter, of seeing and doing things as a child, and then going outside and trying to be normal, that you don't even understand what's going on. Culturally, you go through things that are different because your parents tell you, I don't want you to turn out to be those bad American children. But you're in America getting American dollars. But you're here just to usurp what it is, but you don't want your children. And your children are going to turn out to be like that because they're going to school with them. They're mirroring each other. And so I just take my hat off, my gaily off to the person that's saying that, you know, she experienced the three young men speaking, and knowing that culturally it's very, very important for the children to understand that they have more in common than they have differences. It's very, very important for the children to know that.
Yes. That person said, I am on it. I have already reached out to my friend who is an attorney.
Good.
You are already tuned in.
That's it. That's what you do. The spirit will speak to you. The spirit stops speaking to us when we put it in our head and said, no, I can't do that. That ain't my child. If I do that, they might come after me. Once you start that fear thing, then you cut off God. You cut off spirit right then. But congratulations. Be on it. That's your child. That's your project. That's your Trayvon.
Yes, yes. Okay, so I would like at this time to say to the five callers who are online, if you have a question, just press the number 1, and we will bring you up on the air. Question or comment, doesn't necessarily have to be a question, but if you have a comment on the subject that we're talking about today, just press the number 1, and Sister Yaya Feeney will answer your question or talk to you about your comment. And I like to say to the 7 people in the chat room, thank you very, very much for coming in. And if any of you have any more questions, please feel free to type them into the chat room. And as you've been listening, you know that you are on the air with Yaya Feeney, and the show is Ask Yaya Feeney. And her website is www.yayafeeney.com. That's www.yeyefeeney.com. And as I told you, she has a lot of products and family. She makes these products herself. She makes scrubs and vanishing soaps, lotions, and all type of healing products. And some of the things that she do is she does African weddings and marriage counseling. And as she told you, she has classes, all kinds of classes. And she has a book out as well. So you can find out all of this information from her website. And Sister Yaya Feeney, one of the things I wanted to ask you was, do you have any online classes?
The one that I have once a month that I do a lecture, that one. But we also have under the International Institute of African Studies and Knowledge, IIASK, we have ongoing classes under some of my teachers. We have like 5 different teachers in 5 cities that is available for classes online. They do it on Skype. As well, we have a number of classes that are done on a continual basis. So just go to the website and log in, and the area that you are, you can get the classes in person as well as you can get them, as you're saying, also from the teachers here in Florida or in Ohio, in Dallas-Fort Worth area. We have classes in North Carolina, different places that we have teachers that have classes ongoing. It's my curriculum, but I don't teach those particular classes that are given like that. The one class that I do once a month is the one that's coming up on the 15th on the ancestral celebration, and we'll have a priest covering the power of genealogy and how through divination as well as through ancestral celebration, you'll be able to connect to your ancestors and find out things about them that you didn't know. Then we'll have someone that's talking about the Bantu extraction of what we call today Palo Mayombe. We'll be talking on that, as well as we'll be speaking on some of the different aspects of Lukumi, Yoruba, ancestral celebration of what is a Misa and what are the things that we do for spiritual investigation, Ikujoko, those things will be explained. So we do, it's a very powerful class for 2 hours. So those are the classes that I have once a month because my schedule is so busy, I'm only able to do that one class. And I'm available for lectures internationally and that on different subjects. And we have our SEW, which is a very powerful self-empowerment workshop. Initiation that is a 7-day initiation that we do in June this year. We are not open for doing it in June. It's closed.
And we have another one opening in December that we'll be able to, which is to help you to connect to some of the trauma of past life that you have brought into the present that have stopped you, some of the pathologies that you have on a cellular level. And by healing yourself, you actually heal seven generations from things that are hindering you in the present, as well as that you can use to even take you higher in your life as it is in your success. So it helps you to heal from trauma, abuse, neglect, molestation, disconnect from parental issues, abandonment, and those are the things that are the negative shadows that we come back as karma, and sometimes we're not able to connect to it. But this SCW initiation is a seven-day initiation that you are completely separated from anyone, just you and the group. So it's not that you're going shopping and going to dinner and that. No, it's actually you're in a lockdown. And it's through possession that you're able to go back into tapping into the expressions and the experiences of your ancestors, and you can bring forth, heal them, and then your life will be improved. So if you go on my website, you'll be able to see a lot of testimonials of that. Or people can email me if you want some more information. Just go to yeyefini. Just email me at yeyefini@bellsouth.net, and you can ask me information about that, or go on my website, and you can find more information about the SCW Retreat Initiation, which is a very powerful, powerful thing. It has nothing to do with the Yoruba faith in terms of you joining the Yoruba faith or religion. It's not. It's completely about ancestral possession, that the ancestors gave me this as a tool to use in teaching, assisting others in empowering themselves and getting themselves free and clear of some of the pathology that we pass on from generation to generation, not knowing why, where is the origin, and how to overcome it, and how to move in our lives with success without having things lurking behind us that we don't understand, such as negative energy. So it's a very powerful thing that I really feel very passionate that the ancestors called me to be, the person to do this. And it's very, very, very powerful. As I said, it's a seven-day initiation, and it's I make it very cost-effective for it. It's $1,200 for that, takes care of everything of the initiation and your food, your lodging. All of this it is done in a retreat setting that you're able to really, really come close and up front and center and feel your ancestors manifest this and using you through possession to heal them. It's an awesome, awesome experience, and I'm humbled whenever I am in that space. And we have our mediums that come and assist, and they come from different parts of the world to help us every year to do this initiation. Someone called today and was asking, will you be needing me to do the initiation to help and assist? It's a powerful thing, because every time that we have our mediums that come and help assist, they're helping themselves because they themselves are being elevated. So it's a very powerful thing.
Hmm. Okay. Sister Yeyefini, someone in the chat room says, you are confirmation that that person is on the right path. He said that is exactly, he or she, I'm not sure, says that is exactly how they feel, and thank you. And they want to know how they would get a copy of your 2012 reading for the year.
Oh, okay. You can just email me and we send it. And I had it up on my website, but I had so much stuff on there. So you could just email me and I'll send it to you. yeyefini@bellsouth.net. And I can send it to you, a copy of the, if you want all of them, I have one for the world, one for the United States, one for the African American. And if you want a consultation yourself, because that's one of the things that you didn't share, Ruby, that I do a consultation. I've been doing readings for 40 years, and I do consultations, spiritual consultations for business, for business, for personal destiny, for your path, for not your path, but the things that you're going through at this time, or for any situation that you're involved in. that you need counseling in, and read your children, yourself, your adults, your marriage, relationship, you're getting ready to move into a house, all of those things that you want to know what Spirit has to say, we do consultations on that. And if you want a New Year reading, excuse me, to know what vibration or what energy is governing you this year, also I'm available for that. So you can register for that. Look under, not services, but products, and you will see for one counseling session or three counseling sessions. Some people pay for three counseling sessions, and throughout the year they get a checkup every 3 months, or you can just do a one time. It's up to you. And if you're in Florida, you can come to my office, and if not, then you can do it online.
Okay. We have a couple of minutes left. Person in the chat room is Alma. She says Alma is the Akan name for female born on Saturday from Ghana, West Africa.
Ashe. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yes, that was, it says, do you do a hand in IFA reading?
A hand of Ifa reading?
Okay.
Is that what they're asking?
Yes.
No, I do. I do Merindelo Goon. I use cowries. I know how, but I don't do that. That's not my calling. But if you're interested in that, I have priests that I work with that do that particular thing. Each person has an area of expertise that they came on earth to do, and that's what I do. And also, as you were explaining, that the different things that I have on my website, most of the things that I have on my website, if not all of them, is for shape-shifting. It's from changing the energy of from sadness to joy, from financial challenges to prosperity. I have an oil that you put on your computer and your door frame and your mailbox and your cell phone for business. We have, things, of course, the most famous is, of course, the scrub, the essential scrub and essential lotion that make you feel like, oh, and so that's available. Also, we have all types of soaps. And this month, they're coming out. I have a line of Orisha soaps. So if you have, let's say, for instance, you have a consultation and you have an energy around Yemonja around you, or you're feeling like that, you can use the Yemonja soap to kind of channel that Orisha, that energy, or Shango. I have a soap that's called Dalahala, and that's for finances, that if you're going to look for a job, you bathe with that, you wrap it in a $10 bill, and you bathe with it. I have all types of things. So go on the website, and these are things that Spirit empowered me and taught me how to make. So it's not something that is a hit or miss, because everybody knows you know where I live. So I don't put out things there that I have not used and that can back it. But I have all types of things that we have on the site that I feel I have a banishing wash, as you were saying, that's very powerful. You can spritz your house and clean it to shift the energy of stagnant energy or arguments and depression and sadness. You can use it also to spray around your bed. I have an incense from Nigeria that we use also to cleanse your house. You start in the back room and you work your way through the front, and you can use the 23rd Psalm if you want, or any nice chant that is about prosperity. I mean, not prosperity, but for cleansing. The Lord is my shepherd. Anything like that, and you spray the banishing wash as you're banishing with the incense, is amazing. And the banishing soap is very good for adults as well as children. I use it with my grandchildren, and it's good for if you're feeling irritable or they can't sleep at night and they feel tormented, or you come home from work and you work like in hospitals and things like that, and you want to shift your energy, you use the banishing soap. It's very, very powerful. The herbs that I use is not something that, you know, you just go out and decide, okay, let me use some grass. This is stuff that I know that when you combine them together, what effect they have. It's science that I use. It's not magic. It's science. And when I use them and when I pick them, there's certain times of the day and times of the moon that I use them, and I chant over them, and that's what makes them work. It's just, I am just a vehicle for harnessing the power that all herbs have on earth, and have taken the responsibility to use them appropriately so that we can use them for what God sent them on earth to do, which is to heal and to make us whole and make us balanced and find love and peace. So that's what my products are all about. It's not get rich thing. It's about using them in the appropriate way and finding that they are really very successful.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
How did you get started in making your own products? Did you find that, you know, just what you were buying was not satisfactory, or is this something you learned from, you know, parents, ancestors, or was it passed down?
Well, no, I didn't learn it from my ancestors, per se, my living ancestors. I probably learned it from the spirits because I have a very, sensitive, and so I pick up energy from different things. And so if I am in, like you're saying, asking me the lotion that I was using, I looked at the chemicals that was in it, and I'm saying, I can't understand any of the things that's in there. They have names in there that I can't understand. And I'm saying, so what is it doing to my body? So I do a little research, and I find out that it has lye in it, and it has formaldehyde, and it has all kinds of stuff that's taking away and making my body feel like okie dokie. So then I start looking at that, and I said, you know what? Let me just use the natural stuff. And I started making it for myself, and then I will make it for gifts for people, because the kind of person that I like, whatever I have, I like to share. And so I will share it with friends, and they're like, oh, my gosh. Because right now I just shared with someone, and they're ordered in something. I made a new hairspray for your hair if you have locks, because I have sister locks. And so I combined some coconut oil with some water, with some rosemary and some other stuff, and I spray that on my hair so it can be moist but not feel heavy like grease. And I put eucalyptus in it, and I put some what else did I put in there? I can't think of some, and the time is running short. But anyway, and I sprayed it on my hair, and it feels, oh, I put peppermint, so it feels so fresh. And I shared it with someone. Now I'm making that up. I'm not selling it, so no, please, nobody don't order it yet, because I don't have anything to do with it. Because that's how it happens. I start with one thing, and next thing you know, oh, did you try so-and-so? Oh, I want so-and-so. And next thing, that's how the lotion started. I made the lotion for one person. They
really
wanted an attraction lotion. They wanted an attraction lotion, and I made it up. And they're like, oh, my God, this is so good. They told their friends I had to send out 6 orders. So that's how it starts. It's just that people ask me and I make up something. But the thing with the hair, I just decided I need to make something for myself, that I need to spray my locks when I'm going, you know, out. And so it feels moist and it's shiny and it doesn't itch and that kind of thing. And so I combined from studying herbs over the years, I know the effect of these different things and how to combine them. And that's what I do. And then I chant, of course, to make sure that, you know, whatever it is that I'm doing holistically as well for my body. But that's how I do is I read labels, I look at the things that are xylosomes, whatever, and it sounds too weird for me, I'm not putting it in my body. So I find the natural thing, which was the original one, and then you use that. So that's how I started. So I want to, we have 2 minutes left, I want to read the prayer again, if it's okay.
Yes, that would be great.
Use this, and I'm going to put it on my website so people can use the prayer. I enter into a meditative state. I pray that I will be shown what my initial emotions are revealed to me. Ask what action is being revealed to me to move from any negative emotions, such as fear, from hate to love, anger to calm, hurt to forgiveness, fear to courage. Since the universe mirrors my beliefs, I ask myself, what can I do to bring about peace, love, and spiritual transformation to my community, my family, and my children? Through this ceremony, I listen to what spirit brings to me, and I look for signs of confirmation in large and small occurrences. Let's continue to do spirit, God, goddess work as we empower and heal the world. So in closing, I just want to say thank you so much for listening. And for those of you who are in archives, feel free, because last month we had 60 people listening to the archives. So we know that Sunday is a hard time to just log in. So I thank you also for the listening to the archives. And remember, that look around for the spiritual small occurrences. Connect to those children. Connect to the parents. Connect to what is your purpose. When you get angry, ask, what is this telling me? Why is it that I'm smelling this? Why is it that I'm feeling this? So I want you to have a wonderful and glorious Sunday, and I will see you again next month for Ask Yeyefini. And know that I love you. I'm sending the energy of peace and love. And we had a wonderful Women's Month celebration last month of March. So have a glorious April, and enjoy, enjoy, and in love. Ashe.
Ashe. Good night.